Hello and welcome back to a Book a Day podcast. And I'm back with another book. Now, some of you have accused me of not discussing too many books on art, and I do feel guilty about it. And this is something that I would like to work on in the future. But more importantly, today I'm sure you're not going to be disappointed because I've got a wonderful book with me written by Anuradha Ghosh, and the book is about the life and works of Jamini Roy. And as the subtitle of the book goes, a painter who revisited the roots. He was somebody, an artist who went back to his roots, the villages, the folk culture of India, and created his own unique style. In fact, first of all, I would like you to do something. Just Google some of the paintings of Jamini Roy. And the moment you look at those images, those paintings, there are a few things that you will immediately notice. One is the color palette. It's a very specific range, and I don't know how, but somehow it just tells you about the Indianness. When you look at these colors, tells you about Indianness. The other thing that you'd notice is the really strong boundaries. Those really prominent, thick black lines along the boundaries. Whether it's an object or a character, mythological figure, deity, you find that. And that's again something that you see in folk art. And another thing is that although they are quite simple in terms of depictions of scenes or portraits, but the certain features, they just stand out and they get exaggerated. And we'll come to all these technical aspects and the style, but let's just talk about the book for a second and what it tells us about the life and works of Jamini Roy. What I really liked about the book was that it's quite easy to read, although it gets to the details, the depth of it. But it's still very easy to read for somebody who's not been a student of art. And it has three key sections. First one is locating identity, when the author talks about the identity, the style that he is trying to choose and the individual identity that he's exploring. The second part is translating the folk. So obviously talking about the folk culture there, the drawing, the inspirations from the folk culture and then translating them onto the modern canvas. And the people's artist is called the third section, where the author Anuradha Ghosh tells us how Jamini Roy made art accessible to common people. And I have to make this point that the author has done such a wonderful job of explaining all these aspects, of explaining all the aspects of the study of art, but at the same time, she has made it accessible to the common reader. So this is something that I enjoy about these monographs, that you have an expert who understands this field, in this case, art and aesthetics, and then she breaks it down for you like a wonderful teacher, and you really follow her and understand the art along with her. So that is a job really well done. Now coming to the contents, as I said, the first section is about locating identity, in which the author is talking about how Jamini Roy was wrestling with the question of identity. Now, let me read a few lines from the book, which gives you an idea of what the confusion was regarding identity and style. So the author says, the art environment of his times was beset with a distinct polarity, with the contesting camps of the Orientalists and the followers of Western academic naturalism. His early years saw the immense popularity of the works of the Neo-Bengal school painters, as opposed to the artists who painted in oils and followed Western realistic techniques. The Orientalists were trying to fashion an idiom of Indianness in painting in line with the ideals of the Swadeshi movement of 1905, shunned both naturalism and oil painting, and in doing so they turned for inspiration towards the ancient history, myths and traditions of an older, glorious India. They imagined, perhaps, that such reminiscence of glory would, in its turn, culminate in the resurgence of the nation wallowing in political and cultural captivity. So there were two groups. In one group, there was naturalism in art, and in the other, people or artists, they were trying to go back to the glory days of their indigenous culture. But remember, most of this ancient glory that these Orientalists were trying to portray, it was part of their imagination. It wasn't really there in the lives and style lifestyles of people. So this was where Jamini Roy was conflicted, because although he started creating portraits more in the Western style or the naturalism, but at the same time, he wasn't really comfortable with it. He wanted to go back to his roots, understand where he was coming from. And he was coming from a small village. He grew up in a village. He saw the life there. And that's what led to his journey back to the origin, back to the culture where the indigenous art was there. But it wasn't really in the Orientalist style. It was like constantly buzzing around in everyday activities and traditions and culture. And of course, it happened over time. It didn't really happen overnight. It took a lot of time because remember Jamini Roy, he had established himself as an artist quite early in his age. He went to an art school and started working on commissioning projects. He was earning comfortably. He was living in Calcutta. He wasn't really happy or satisfied with the work that he was doing there. In his words, he felt like a caged bird. And so he sought that creative freedom, went back to his roots, and drew inspiration from what he had seen around him, the life as he had seen around him in his village. So there was a lot going on there, right? From his childhood, he had seen the kind of work artisans would create. He would see those idols, those colorful idols, especially that you see in Durga Puja in Bengal. And remember, in the villages, in the pre-industrialized world, a lot of things that got created for daily activities, various objects, utensils, a lot of them were handmade. So there was art all around. So all of that was the inspiration behind Jamini Roy's initial steps that he took towards his unique style. And a lot of folk art that was there, that influence also got onto his works. So for example, when you see the two-dimensional images, this flattened style of images when you see the folk art. They are quite simple, and that's why they connect with a wide range of audience. Then, as I've mentioned in the beginning, the vibrant colors, although that palette is limited, but vibrance in colors is there. Also, something that you find in Indian villages, or the art that is associated with them, it's not really like European style portraits where you see those landscapes and beautiful mountains. Not quite. Here you see the everyday objects, farmers, artisans, women, the folklore, mythology, all of that, the society that is there. And that really became the subject matter for Jamini Roy's works. And that's how he translated the folk into his works, something that we learn in the second section of this book. The third section is about the people's artist, and that's something that I really found interesting. Now, if you've seen the folk art, what you would have noticed is, you see the art, but you don't really know who the artist is. Whereas when you see the Western art, a famous painting, you immediately know, or at least try to know, who the painter is. And that comes from the cultural differences. Because with individualism, you find that audience as well as the artist, they are focused on the individual identity of the artist. Whereas in folk cultures, this idea of individualism is not really there. So it doesn't really matter which individual created which particular art. The more important is the underlying ethos of that art. And that's all. And collectively, you see the culture is moving. The culture is growing collectively. It's not really an individual pursuit or growth in that sense. So, Jamini Roy's works fall somewhere in between, because obviously he was creating this some kind of folk art, but he understood the dynamics of how modern economy, modern art, it worked. So he had to use his individual identity. But at the same time, he was also conscious of the fact that a lot of Indians, they were not going to pay a lot of money for art. They were happy buying cheap artisan works in their homes, and they were contented with that. So he made sure that the price of his artworks, they were not very high, one. And two, he produced these artworks in abundance. In fact, he called it art factory. He was just producing a lot of art there. So the idea was that not just giving very specific, rare artistic work to elites, but bringing the ordinary and fascinating lifestyles of common people to those who could appreciate all of that life in art form. So what that did was that kind of elevated the masses, their sense of art, their sense of aesthetics. That was really a movement in itself. Because it wasn't really about creating one artwork or two artworks. It was about bringing a range of artworks to the common people and connect them with their roots, connect them with the aesthetics and philosophy of their own culture. That was really wonderful. And all of that and more you will find in the book. I don't think I've done any justice to what Anuradha Ghosh has done in the book, but I tried my part. And you really, really have to read the book if you want to know more about it and what really Jamini Roy's works, his art was all about. And you'll also get to learn a lot more about his own life. So with that, I'll take your leave, and I hope you learned something new about Indian art today. And you will also get a chance to get the book. Let me know your thoughts about this, and I'll catch you the next time. Thank you. Thank you very much.